ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. It's been an interesting time in the world of the Oasis fan, especially if you are down under in Australia and New Zealand. Liam's down there, he's touring, and we're going to hear from a couple of listeners who went to see him in a bit. But yeah, very exciting for you guys. I know it's sort of a real big deal when one of them comes. So it's, yeah, fantastic. Hope you guys have all enjoyed it if you are down there and you got to see him. Today we are going to be talking to Liam Highfield. Liam is a snooker player. He's currently number 39 in the world in snooker. He appeared on my radar a little while ago because he has a Liam cut, basically. Anyone that's got a Liam cut, I'll dig them out. I'll find out who they are and what they're about. And it normally turns out they're Oasis fans. And yeah, Liam is a big Oasis fan. So we have a bit of a chat with him about the world of snooker and other random stuff. So that's just a nice, fun, quick chat. And also, I talked to Liam about his entrance music, and I started to run through a couple of sort of your responses on entrance music choices as well. But I think that's a really cool topic, so I'm going to just run through those, a few of those after the interview with Liam. And also, like I said, we're going to hear from a couple of the guys that saw Liam down under. So anyway, I think that's it for today. So without any further freddy ado, here is me with Liam Highfield. The Oasis Podcast, Liam Highfield. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just doing a bit of your practicing this morning, are you?
Yeah, just been ticking over the last week or so. So just, yeah, been going in for a couple of hours, but kind of up the hours next week, I think. I've got a tournament. I play a week on Tuesday. So yeah, gear up for that.
Cool. Whereabouts is that?
I play in Wigan, Robin Park, so qualify for the British Open. So yeah, I'm not sure where the British Open, the final bit, gets played. I think it might be Leicester, actually.
Okay, fair enough. That'd be cool. It's sort of for people that don't know. So you're a professional snooker player. Where are you at? 39 in the world right now?
Yeah, 39. Yeah,
that's not too bad, is it?
Not too bad.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about this the other day because I'm a big boxing fan, right? That's my main sport outside of like football, and obviously I like a bit of snooker as well, but. I was looking down the list of, like, if you're the 39th best boxer in the world, well, they're all world champions, aren't they? Because there's, like, four world champions in each of 16 weight divisions.
There's about 39 world champions in every division, aren't
they? Yeah, exactly. So if you're at 39 in the world in boxing, well, you're probably a world champion. Like, so
yeah, I'd probably be retired, wouldn't I?
Exactly, yeah, definitely, mate. And then same as in football. I was looking down, like, the top, you know, the rankings of football players. It's like,
Harry Kane is 44. You know what I mean? Casemiro, I think, is like 39. Jorginho. So it's just in snooker, isn't it? Like, it's just a similar to tennis when you've got that sort of one-on-one situation. But fucking hell, 39th in the world is nuts.
Yeah, I'm only a couple of pounds behind them, aren't
I? Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, that just must make you a bit, you know, when you think, like, there's seven, 8 billion people on this planet and you're, like, the 39th best at snooker. That's just nuts.
Mm. Yeah, when you look at it like that, I suppose it is. But I suppose you kind of just get used to being in your own way and that. You keep wanting to go up, don't you?
What's happened with all the, like, I'm a fairly decent snooker fan. I follow the major tournaments and stuff. And one of the things I was always surprised about was that we haven't had more of the Chinese guys come through, because it's so massive over there, isn't it? They'd like the big championships can get watched by billions, and yet there's been a few come through. But I would have thought, you know, about 10, 15 years ago, I thought, right, well, it'll be pretty much all Chinese in like 5 years, but it hasn't really happened.
Yeah. I'm not sure why that is. I think a lot of them, obviously so many players, they come over. I think like over here, since they've, like, a lot of them have turned pro, they've just kind of got stuck in a ranking, which is a bit strange, really. A lot of them, you've got a lot of Chinese players ranked sort of maybe 50 to like 80 in the world.
Right.
Obviously a few have come through, and more so lately, like Bing Tao and Xing Tong, who won the UK Championship. But yeah, it's probably like four or five that broke through. But yeah, you would have expected more. Maybe it's probably quite hard, isn't it? Like, coming halfway around the world to just go and live in Sheffield and play snooker all day, because that's what they do. I don't know whether, maybe they're not, they're not that emotional, so you never know. Maybe they're not very happy, I don't know.
Oh, well, don't worry. All right, well, look, that's the reason you've come on my radar, obviously, is I know you've been on the circuit for a few years now, but sort of pinged up on my radar. Obviously, anyone that struts around with a decent haircut, and when I say a decent haircut, I mean, like, you know, a Britpop Liam-type haircut, you know, obviously always...
Anyone who struts around with hair and snickers.
Well, there's not many of you, is there? Yeah. To be fair, yeah, yeah. But... yeah, so obviously you rock a bit of a bit of an Indy car, and you've got your sort of your pretty green kind of paisley waistcoat and stuff. So yeah, so was music a big thing for you growing up? Because you're from Stoke, right?
Yeah, kind of. Just we've got a little place here that does like sort of quite intimate gigs called the Sugar Mill.
Yeah.
The first sort of starting going there when I was like 14, just watching like local bands, and they got some quite big names in, like Kasabian played there, loads of big names come and played there, like in their earlier days, if you know what I mean.
Yeah
and then I kind of, maybe the early 20s, I kind of lost a little bit of touch with music a little bit. I think like the indie scene maybe didn't fizzle out, but I always thought they just drifted away a bit in about 2008 2009.
Yeah, definitely.
I lost touch, and it seems to have kind of slowly picking back up again. So yeah, kind of just lost touch with it a few years, but then the last few years I've been, you know, into going gigs and stuff again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's definitely the case. Like, I've interviewed a few people that would sort of, you know, supported Oasis, and it feels like there was that big push, I suppose, because you're what, born 90?
Yeah, 90, yeah.
Yeah, so there was that big push in sort of the mid-2000s, like Franz Ferdinand, Kaiser Chiefs, yeah. Arctic Monkeys. And
Razor Light, and yeah, all
that. Yeah, yeah. But then that kind of died away a little bit, and then sort of...
Kooks were a big one, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But then sort of everyone had a good sort of couple of albums, but then by the time you get to like 08, 09, it sort of, yeah, kind of died away completely. So it's a bit of a...
Yeah, yeah. All them bands actually did kind of one or two good albums, didn't they, where it was just a backlog of all their writing sort of thing. They all sort of had one album, one or two albums. I think it was a great band, and I'm so glad they're back together. So, well, they're back together for a tour, aren't they? The Enemy. I watched them at the Sugar Mill years ago, local band. So yeah, I'm going to watch them in Manchester in September.
I'm so sick, I'm tired of working just to be retired. I don't want to get that far. Don't want your company car. Promotions ain't my thing. Name badges are not interesting. It's much easier for me, see, to stay at home with Richard and Judy. Well, well, oh, 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 o
And you were at Nebworth. I saw a couple of videos of that. You seemed like you were having a quiet, pleasant evening.
Yeah, that's what people do at BM gigs, isn't it? quiet, pleasant evenings. What? Until 5 a.m.
Did you have a good one?
No, it was great. Yeah, I got the bought the ticket and just did the stupid thing of, you know, not booking accommodation or camping or this and that. I ended up jumping on a coach from Stoke about 7 a.m. Got back in about 4 a.m. Yeah, it was mayhem, but no, it was ace. It was just great.
Yeah. That's quality. And so what about Oasis? Obviously, if you're born 90, so you were were they just sort of there in the background as part of your life when you were a kid?
Yeah, I remember my mum loving Oasis when I was a kid, so it was on quite a bit. And there's a picture somewhere in an album somewhere of me with a guitar and silly sunglasses on in the living room thinking I was a rock and roll star or something. But I'm about 5. Yeah, just followed him through my mum, really, I suppose. And then, obviously, they split up, didn't they? And continued to follow, you know, Noel and Liam after that.
Talking about you being a kid at Nebworth, I saw Sean Murphy giving you some banter on Twitter the other day about, he was like, I was at Nebworth when you were in short trousers or something like that.
Yeah, he was watching Robbie Williams.
Well, I was going to say, he didn't seem to me, you know, like the most rock and roll of all the guys on the tour.
Was watching Robbie.
Who on the tour is there? Have you got sort of certain mates that like you tend to hang around with in similar music?
Yeah, well, there's sure like music, but going out and stuff. Maybe after tournaments and that, I don't go out as much as I used to after a snooker. But Rob Milkins is quite funny. Matthew Stevens, they're sort of the ones. If I was going out on the night, I'll tag along with them a bit. But yeah, kind of keep myself to myself and snooker. Maybe a little bit different to a lot of the players. And they're into golf and things like that. It's not me.
and I was going to ask you about that waistcoat as well. Is that a custom made job?
Yeah, so my girlfriend we was looking at stuff like what to wear a snooker because before I just wear that. Black or whatever, but I was thinking of trying to get a bit of, I suppose, like the type of clothes that I wear outside of snooker, into snooker, if you know what I mean. So we tried to get pretty green and like involved, but kind of didn't really take off. Wait, I hadn't took off yet before the season started. So she came up with an idea of, you know, that lining in the jackets and that. Get an old one and get it and a great tailor around here, like, did it. So, yeah, just got the back done in a pretty green, like, paisley pattern. It was quite good.
No, I think it's smart. I think it is smart. And your haircut, do you get much abuse on the tour for having the hair? I know, I've seen there's a little bit on Twitter, but, yeah.
They must have deleted about 4,000 because there's only a little bit left, but, yeah. But it's all fun and games, really. I don't mind the banter. It's not a, I don't take it personal or anything like that. That's just how I like my hair.
And I suppose you can give it to people as well. Like, yeah, especially if they don't have hair anymore.
No one's got any other snook. Everyone pulled it out.
Well, I remember Judd Trump. I mean, when he started out, he had the most bizarre kind of...
Yeah, he had like a long, straightened...
Yeah.
Thingy, yeah.
Yeah, but he's obviously, he hasn't got much of his left either. So,
yeah. I'll start getting too much stick out. Mine might drop out in the next few years, and then I will be getting one out.
Yeah, well, that's all right. You just got to go to the wig. I've been thinking about
this. Like, wig.
Yeah, exactly. Johnny
does wear a wig, doesn't he?
I don't know. It's definitely, his hair's not naturally that colour. But yeah, as I say, whether it's a wig or whether that's cut just for men, I don't know. But yeah, it's not the best. I think he needs to, like Gem from Oasis and Noel's band, just accept the grey, move on gracefully.
Yeah, definitely. But I suppose if it's not a wig, it's kind of hard to make it. What do you do? Put a few streaks of grey in.
Yeah, but no, I think move on to the wigs. But you've got to, you can't, like, you know, some footballers that like went bald and then suddenly appeared with full heads of hair. And then you've got to get the timing right. Yeah. Anyway, this is all good, important stuff.
Angels from above looking down, see us kill a pretty green.
in a fantasy. Have faith in the future that's perfectly clear. Let's stop the world burning, well maybe next year. Get together before it all ends in tears. Every day we could make that change happen.
I was asking on Twitter the other day, and obviously people have got their walk-on music, you know, and Ronnie uses Rock and Roll Star, and like, you know, various boxers and things have used Oasis in the past. How does that work? Does that like a different thing for every tournament, or do you kind of set it up? How does that work?
I think you can pick it for your pick it for the season sort of thing. The only thing is, in snooker, it's not like a boxing walkout, is it? Because the song's only played for like 20-30 seconds max, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like boxing's a bit of a spectacle, isn't it, the walkout? And they could play free, they play an album in the time that it takes someone to get their ring.
Yeah.
But, so you just pick it for the season, whatever you want, really. Not a, yeah.
And what have you had in the past?
I just have a song by a mate who's, you know, he used to play music like locally. He was one of the first people I saw in Stoke. It's just a guy called Andy Bauer. It's this town. It's just a local thing that, you know, that probably no one outside of Stoke has really heard of it. But yeah, maybe I should get the Oasis vibe going. But
this town's getting me down. You got it far too easy, London. Chester. Is this place better out of shape? Better out of shape. And if you ever should let me down, I will go again. If you ever should let me down, I will smoke again. If you ask me what I need, justice is what I need. If you should let me down, I will go again. I will go again.
So I was asking the guys on Twitter what would be your entrance theme if you were a sports star. So this might give you a few hints anyway. Matt at Matt Fortet said Listen Up, which is a cool drum beat. I think that would work in that first sort of 20 seconds. Sean Wright, Shock of the Lightning, that'd be awesome, I think. Mm. What else we got? Acquiesce, Morning Glory, Go Let It Out, Columbia.
That's a good one.
Then the helicopters and stuff. People would be looking, well, where's the helicopters? So, what do you reckon then, mate? If you go for Oasis one, what do you think?
Morning Glory is probably one of my favourite Oasis songs. So
is it?
That would maybe do it, I think.
Cool.
Ronnie's obviously had Rock and Roll Stars in the past, so
can't make that.
He's back on to, I think, the Worlds he didn't have. Train drops of Jupiter he's on at the minute, I think so.
Jesus, that's quite a drop from fall from grace, isn't it?
Bit of a contrast to be out on John Next Worlds.
No.
You'll have your song on.
You want something that's going to give you a bit of a kick, don't you? Yeah. And when you're training, do you tend to listen to music when you're training, or do you have to like concentrate?
I never used to. Few months, I bought some of these. I've never had them before. It's like maybe been out years, but I'm so far behind the times that I just bought some of them headphones with no wires. Like the things. Last few months I've had these, and when I've just been practicing on my own, just put a podcast on or an album or something. Yeah, it makes the time go a little bit quicker. I wouldn't have them in if I was practicing with someone, like playing someone. But
right,
sometimes.
Yeah. I suppose it's such a bizarre sport, isn't it? Because it's that level of concentration that you've got to have. It's just weird, I suppose. Like the one thing for me, I can't, like, as I said, coming from I've had a go on a snooker table a few times. I can't even fucking hit the ball, let alone get it anywhere near the pocket. Like, I just don't get how you guys are so, I mean, I suppose it's just practice, but like, I've often thought this, you know, people say, oh, it's natural, you know, like Ronnie was a natural, like, yeah, you know, just natural talent or whatever. You sort of think, was there a point, was it that like you literally sat down at the snooker table and went, shit, I'm actually really good at this? Like, how did that come about?
I'm not sure. Like, I just picked it up when I was like 8 years old, was watched it on TV and kind of copied it. But yeah, the natural thing, it's like a bit of a debate, isn't it? I think maybe someone just with, you know, people just tend to be good at like ball sports. They're sort of, if you can play one, usually you can play a few more. So I think if you've got that kind of coordination,
yeah,
the rest of snooker is just hard work and practice, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not a born natural snooker player, I don't think. I just think you've got good coordination, and obviously if you've picked it up young, you're a bit more susceptible to like learning, aren't you, if you keep doing something when you're young.
Yeah.
It just becomes really second nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's a bit like that. I don't really go with the naturalness thing as much as probably most people.
Yeah, because it's weird. I sort of wonder, God, if I'd... Maybe I was like the best player ever at, I don't know, like lacrosse or something, but I just never had a go. Yeah. I might have been the bloody Ronnie O'Sullivan of lacrosse, or yeah. you know what I mean. But I just, you know what I mean. It's so weird, isn't it?
I suppose everybody's probably got something they're like amazing at, haven't they? It's just finding it, and
yeah,
I suppose it's finding it at the right time in your life. You've got to be young for, I suppose in sport you've got to be young to take it up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what's your aspirations then? Obviously, season's coming up. Is there, do you kind of target like, right, I want to break into the top 20 or top 16? Is there like, do you sort of work on it like that?
Yeah, so it's, yeah, I set a little goal at the start of the season sort of thing. I don't like overly focus on it. I think you've just got to get on with it and play. But yeah, obviously 39, probably try and target the 32 at some point.
Yeah.
To get in there at some point in the season. Yeah, and obviously just each tournament you're playing, you've got to try and win it. That's just how age, and then when one's done, you focus on the next. So yeah, just take it tournament by tournament, really.
Yeah, no, fair play.
Yeah, so obviously China's been, because of the COVID thing, still.
Yeah.
We've had no tournaments for like 3 years, and I think this is coming up to about the fourth year with nothing in China in the calendar, so that's a big reduction. Travel wise, but also kind of earning wise, and
yeah,
for the growth of the game. Obviously, it's not the best thing, because there was like, I think, five tournaments out there at one time. So we're still just primarily sort of in the UK, and then there's a few tournaments in Germany and around Europe. So yeah, just treat them as any other tournaments. They're only like a 3-hour flight, aren't they? So it's like
not too bad.
Good. Go down to London, it'd take you longer.
Fair enough. Yeah. So you're still based up in Stoke?
Yeah, I've never moved away from Stoke, sort of. Yeah, quite. Just always stayed at home, and yeah, got all my mates, guys, that everyone sort of grew up with around here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, I have, in the past, like, kind of tickled with the idea of maybe going to one of the academies and basing myself in another city, but I think I'd miss it too much. I'd probably be back every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, fair enough. And you've got, well, and we mentioned Robbie earlier. Robbie Williams is from Stoke, isn't he? So is he?
Yeah, he sold out Vale Park the same night as Nedworth, didn't he?
Yeah.
You heard of Port Vale? Put
there too, man. Yeah, yeah, no, it's Port Vale. You've got Port Vale and Stoke City, haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah. They just got promotion, didn't they? So.
Yeah.
He was wandering around Bell Park with a shirt too small on, I think.
Cool. All right, well, look, mate, I appreciate the time today. Yeah, good luck with the new season coming up. We tend to finish the episodes with the Oasis song of your choice. I mean, you mentioned Morning Glory earlier. Is there any other ones that jump out to you?
Yeah, Slide Away, I think. Yeah, Slide Away. Top three would be Morning Glory, Slide Away, and Whatever.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool. And obviously you saw Liam at Nebworth. Are you still get out to see? Are you more of a Liam guy than the Noel guy, especially with the gigs?
Yeah, definitely more Liam than Noel. I haven't got any more. Got only a couple of gigs lined up. But I'm going to go watch Ashcroft.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, I think, Jamie Webster. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's supporting him. I quite like that guy. I'm just going to watch The Enemy. But, pretty fun.
Sweet. All right, Liam. Well, thank you very much for your time, mate. I hope, good luck with everything.
So, mate.
All right. Thank you. All the best, mate. Bye.
Take care. See you later.
Social Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So, thank you very much to Liam. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Good guy, and we always like to support people if they are clearly big Liam fans and Oasis fans, so all good. One more piece of news is that Liam, by the time you've heard this, Liam will have released the Diamonds in the Dark EP. Unfortunately, once again, it's only a digital release, no vinyl or no physical of any sort, which is a shame, but it does mean we get a Diamonds in the Dark live version from Nebworth. So now, what does this mean? Does this mean that we're going to get a Nebworth live release? Could do. And they did release, they did broadcast some Nebworth live on the radio. Or it wasn't live, but you know what I mean. So but that wasn't the full job. And also, you know, it was just one night. So will we get a Nebworth release? That would be very cool if we do. We mentioned a couple of episodes ago, one of the very interesting things that was kind of buried on just a physical vinyl release was this track, Bless You, the Andrew Wyatt track that Liam hosted on, that Liam guested on, that has then become like a Liam track now. So, interesting that is coming out on this Diamonds in the Dark EP. Still no sign of Nothing Nowhere. That's this really good little song that Liam posted a couple of minutes of on his Twitter. Well, I think he posted both of it, didn't he? He posted two tweets, posted the song in full, but then pulled one of them. So weird. So there's still no sign of that at all. So very, very interesting. I wonder if we will get that maybe as the B-side to whatever the next single is. So we shall see. Or maybe he'll just keep it as just something he wants a crappy half-recorded version of on his Twitter, and that's how he'd like it to be out in the world. I don't know what's going on.
Restless spirits depart. Still we're deep in each other's heart.
Right, let's then have a look at what you guys have said as best walk-on tunes. Dee Dee, who we will be hearing from about Australia, says My Big Mouth, which is a great song. Perfect, absolutely ideal. Susan Tadayan said, gotta go with Morning Glory, although Go Let It Out is a close second. Musical Pedro, has gone off the Oasis world and said, "I always enjoy Little Man Tate coming on to Sheriff Fat Man by Carter USM and The Darkness using Arrival by ABBA. I'd select Come On by The Hives. Oasis-wise, it'd have to be Acquiesce for me, their best riff, and then a cacophony of noise and killer dual vocals." Kaz at BHN Oz NZ, well, they've probably gone to see Liam as well. Surely you can get Nick Kyrgios on. He's got a bit of Liam in him. Come on, Greg Rosetsky. I remember you on Saturday Morning Kids TV in 98, talking Oasis when All Around the World was released. Yeah, would love to speak to those guys. Yeah, if Nick or if Greg are Oasis fans, they're more than welcome to come on. Mark at WBA82, who's the host of the excellent Project Football podcast, says has to be Rock and Roll Star for me. Spot on. Sound effects, our friend Katie says, AKA What a Life. That's actually a really, really good choice. I know when it was used for the football, wasn't it? Before, I think it was the ITV England football coverage. I think it worked really well. Dean B, in a rugby sevens tournament back at uni in 99, we had Come On Feel the Noise for each game we came out to. I'd probably choose Supersonic for an individual sport, though. Come On Feel the Noise would be great. Yeah, absolutely love that. Matt Martin, I've actually pondered this before and has to be one of the epic live versions of Acquiesce. Middleton, Andy Middleton, got to be Columbia. Nah. Steve at Barely Awake Lion, I walk on to Roll With It myself. Well, which means in reality, Billy sticks it on the jukebox for me when I step up to throw my darts or break off a game of pool in the Dog and Duck. Yes, I do give him the coins for it. Barrington Chesterfield says, Fucking in the Bushes is the ultimate entrance tune, but if that's not allowed, then Head Shrinker. Tate says Supersonic. Sarah B, aka Talking Fanfic, says Supersonic. Stephen Sessions says Cigarettes and Alcohol. Susie in the Sky says Morning Glory. Dan Best, great choice here, Face the Crowd, BDI. And actually, I did click that on after he put it. I was like, yeah, that's fantastic. That opening riff is great. Gaz Thompson said See the Sun from the unreleased demos. Pierce K said Bring It On Down. And Eric Johnson said Fort Knox or Fucking in the Bushes. So what do you guys think? What would be your ultimate intro tune if you were if you're a sports person, or if, I suppose, if you're coming on stage as a band either? Let me know. Drop us a message if you want to, or get in touch on the socials. Right, so let's hear from our Australian correspondents. Let's cross over to Jessica.
Hi, JC. Jessica Rees here again. Submitting a review of Liam's shows of both Sydney and Melbourne. I was so privileged, so lucky to be able to go to both. I live in Melbourne, so I travelled up to Sydney over the weekend to see friends and obviously to go and see Liam. And then a few days later, last night, in fact, I went to the Melbourne show. Two really different shows. And people may realise that Melbourne and Sydney have a bit of a rivalry. I didn't grow up in Melbourne or Sydney, so I was never saturated in that, you know, as a child or during my formative years. So I don't really understand it. I'm obviously Team Melbourne because that's where I live. And I do love Melbourne with a passion. But I'm mentioning it because the shows were different and I don't want to offend anyone, but I had a definite preference for one of them. I'll come back to that at the end. So the first show we saw was Sydney. It was at the Aware Super Theatre at Darling Harbour. Beautiful venue, custom made for big live shows. I'm not sure of the capacity. I saw somewhere 9,000. I saw somewhere else 4,500. So I'm not sure which it is. Beautiful, beautiful theatre though, with, you know, beautiful stage and lighting and sound. We got there. The atmosphere was great. There were some beautiful LED signs out the front with Liam's image on them. We got inside. It was very busy. Bought all the merch. I'd saved up for weeks. Managed to buy all the merch. Went down, back down to the floor. We were standing, standing on the floor for both shows. Went down, worked our way quite close to the front in between the support act and Liam coming on. And then fucking in the bushes started, and then he came on. And it was a wonderful, wonderful show. I thought that his performance was almost flawless. I thought I couldn't pick up any major errors with it, not that I was looking for them, but I, you know, every rendition of every song seemed bang on. His voice was really clear and the band played well and the sound was great. And I jumped up and down and I loved it. And right at the end, I'm sure he looked at me. He made eye contact. I'm sure of it. I'm sure it happened. So very exciting. Got my fingertips on the maracas as they got thrown into the crowd but didn't end up with them. His banter was great. He said the funniest thing that there is two Australian men fighting over a tambourine, which I think is what was happening when he threw that into the crowd. And just one final note, Live Forever, the outro to Live Forever, he kept going instead of singing We're Gonna Live Forever 5 times. He sang it 10 times. He did a double outro. It was amazing. It was epic. I was flying when he did that. Stood on the stage and he sort of did a little dance, which you may have seen on Twitter, where he was interacting with the crowd once the lights had come up and once the tape music had started. He was still there and just felt like he'd had a good show, like he'd had a good show and he'd enjoyed it as much as we had. So I was on a complete high after that. Amazing. Came back to Melbourne, went back to work. Obviously, everyone's familiar with the post-gig low. But picked myself up for another show 3 days later here in Melbourne, where I live. This time we were at the John Cain Arena, which is a sports arena, converted. Got in there. The crowd was different, I thought. I thought it was there were a lot fewer women. That was just my impression, than there were in Sydney. And there were a lot fewer Liam fans. I felt like in Melbourne it was mainly the Oasis fans, whereas it felt like in Sydney there was a good mix of Oasis fans and Liam fans. But it felt like Melbourne was mainly, people didn't seem as familiar with his current work. Anyway, he came out as before, very exciting. I made the decision to stand not as close this time so I could have more room to actually dance properly. And so I couldn't really see him as closely or as clearly as I did the first time. This time around, the show, look, the sound at the John Cain Arena is just not up to what the theatre was, the beautiful theatre in Sydney. It really there was a bit of distortion at times, and the echo that is put, the echo effect that is put on Liam's voice, particularly on Roll It Over, and it really it didn't quite work. It kind of, the echo kind of collided with his actual vocal, so the sound wasn't great. The atmosphere was great. Everyone was really, really into it. Cigarettes and alcohol just went off in Melbourne. Everyone just started jumping up and down, which I know is not uncommon, but I don't remember that in Sydney. And Live Forever, the outro was short. He only sang it four times instead of the standard five, and he failed to finish one of the verses. I think his voice was under strain by then. In between Sydney and Melbourne, he'd gone to Splendour in the Grass at Byron Bay. So this was actually his third show in 5 days. So I think by then his voice and his throat were affecting him. But his mood was good, and he didn't seem to get frustrated by it. The band had an off night, I think. Diamond in the Dark, easily their weakest performance of that song that I've seen. A couple of mistakes in there that really kind of threw me off the rhythm of it when I was singing along. And there were a couple of mistakes. I felt like Supersonic had a couple of mistakes in it as well. Others might correct me on that. So, yeah, I felt the band had a bit of an off night. Obviously, it was still amazing. Like, this is no way meant to be, you know, anything other than a complete celebration. What it did do was show me that the Sydney show was really exceptional. The Melbourne show was, as Liam himself said towards the end, he said to the crowd, "I apologise for the little imperfections, but that's what life is all about, isn't it?" And I thought, yes, absolutely, it is, because it makes you appreciate the effort and the achievement that it is when there aren't mistakes. It did feel like, though, Melbourne just didn't quite have the facilities, the fandom for Liam as an individual that would really push him to a top performance, to be honest. I thought Sydney pushed him to an absolutely epic performance because everything about it was top-notch and everything about it demanded excellence, whereas Melbourne, it was a Wednesday night. It was in a sports arena. He did an amazing job. We all did, but it just wasn't quite the same. I'm sorry, Melbourne. I live in you. I love you the most, really. But Sydney put on a better show, and that is so typical of Sydney. Well done, Sydney. Liam said in the Sydney show that it was a beautiful arena and we should be proud of it. And I thought, I am proud of it, even though I don't live here. Anyway, JC, look, I'm sorry. This is rambling now, so I'm sure you'll have to edit it. I apologise. I loved the two shows. And I am so grateful that I got to go, because I've been reading on Twitter that Liam's planning on taking at least next year off, which I think is definitely the right thing to do. Totally support him doing that, but I don't know if or when I'll see him again. And so I'm just so happy that I got to go, and that I got to go twice, and that I got to see two such different shows, and that I got to, you know, genuinely not just dance my socks off and yell myself hoarse singing along, but also just to genuinely show my appreciation, because that music has meant a lot to me and I enjoyed being part of the communal experience. I hope everyone else who has had the opportunity to see him this year has enjoyed it as much as I have. But for those of you for whom it's still to come, enjoy. You'll love it. Thanks, JC, for a great podcast. And until next time, goodbye from Melbourne.
Thank you very much, Jessica. I'm really pleased you enjoyed it. And and we definitely need to, I've said this before in the pod and we haven't done it, but yeah, we said we'd do some sort of Women in Oasis episode, but it's just a case of figuring out diaries and getting that booked in. But yeah, definitely want to do that. Thank you very much for getting in touch. And let's also now hear from Dee.
Hey guys, it's Dee from Australia. Just wanting to give a small review on Liam's gig, which was on the 23rd of July in Sydney. Liam was absolutely fantastic. His voice was just incredible. I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit worried after him having to walk off stage earlier in the month overseas at another gig with laryngitis. So I was, you know, holding my breath, praying that he wasn't going to cancel his Australian tour. But it was all good news once we found out he landed in New Zealand, so we knew he was on his way. And boy, you know, I could not have asked for a better gig than what he put on for us on Saturday night. He absolutely smashed through the set with the typical set list that's going on lately around his tour from Nebworth. I don't believe he's made too many changes to that, with the bounce sounding just as good, you know, as ever, really. The crowd at Sydney was absolutely awesome, better than I was expecting it to be. And Liam interacting with the crowd as well was just, I don't think I've seen it as much in past gigs as I ever did on Saturday night. He was absolutely hilarious. It was almost like a Liam stand-up show. The man's a comedian, he says it himself. He had the crowd chant Bruce all night that night instead of Liam. I don't know the story behind why he picked that name, but chanting Bruce all night. Standout moments for me, cigs and alcohol just absolutely blew the lid off. Was just epic to be a part of that. I love Roll It Over. It's always been an old fave of mine. And Champagne Supernova, well, in the moment, wow, you know, just an amazing. That's the place where you sing that song. But hearing it 10,000 times on the radio, yeah, no, it's not a regular favourite of mine, unfortunately. Liam being generous, throwing out plenty of tambourines and shakers and recorders. I think he must have thrown out about 3 tambourines and 3 shakers during the course of the evening. And then the highlight was, you know, him just standing there on the edge of the stage at the end of the gig, grooving it out to the OJs with the crowd. It was pretty incredible. So Liam in Sydney, a massive 10 out of 10 from me. Don't get sucked into what the Australian newspapers write. They only like the bullshit bad stories that he is obviously not producing here while he's on his visit. This tour is getting absolutely no television coverage whatsoever. You know, he could whip in and out of Australia so quickly, no one would even know he was here. Liam Gallagher, you are fucking 100% biblical on Saturday in Sydney, and we cannot wait to have you visit us again. Thanks, everyone, on Oasis Podcast. Cheers.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you, Dee. Much appreciated. And Dee's a great supporter on social media, liking and retweeting posts and stuff, replying. So I always really appreciate that. If you see my posts, it's always good to just give them a reply or a retweet. I do see it and I appreciate it. So, yes, thank you, Dee, for doing that and anyone else that does that. All right, I think that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis Podcast. And most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/OasisPod, which is where I post articles and additional episodes. And coming up over there shortly will be my favourite gig each year since I started going to gigs in 1996. I recorded it the other day. That's going up shortly when I get a chance to edit it. And also, the Britpop History episode is still going strong. Last week, I dropped in the full 4 episodes. The next one's going to be coming up soon once we hit August. And we're going to be looking back at August of 1992, which should be really good. Also, because, you know, because 2 podcasts and 2 Twitter accounts isn't enough, so I set up a 3rd Twitter account, which is Oxford Scene. As I was doing all the stuff on Oxford last year, last episode, I just thought, you know, there's not enough out there sort of bigging up the Oxford scene. So what I've gone is I've just set up a semi-occasional Twitter page over there, just posting sort of videos and things relating to the fantastic history of Oxford music. So if you're a fan of Britpop and Oxford music, or just generally cool music and want to see videos relating to it, then give us a follow at Oxford Scene on Twitter. You can always email me, oasispod@gmail.com. Follow on social media, you know what's going on there. I might stop doing this chat at the end because I think most people have probably skipped already. Have you skipped? Have you skipped? Be honest. Anyway, well, you couldn't. Oh, God, whatever. I'm tired. Okay, thanks, everyone. See you later. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
About Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.